Good to be home. We've been busy, thank God for it. God's opened up a lot of doors. You guys, most of you know that just this week alone, the Lord has gave us two more churches to support us. Both churches weren't sure if they were going to be able to take us on. By the time we got home Sunday, they both informed us that they took us on for support. And so it's a good thing. And then getting a lot of meetings, right? So we have meetings through the rest of March, all of April, 3 weeks, I think, in May, some of June, all of July. And we have three more churches that want me to get a hold of them in June so we can start scheduling for the fall. So pray for me, because tomorrow I'll be sitting down for a few hours, making phone calls, sending out emails, contacting churches again, and getting more meetings set up. And, you know, we want to go full time. And part of being that full time is being able to have Amy home and go full time and be out there on the road raising support. And I believe that's what God wants. I believe he showed me that clear as day. At the end of the year, last year, 2020, in December, he showed me that clear as day. And I just knew as soon as January hit, things were going to start looking different. And man, they're looking different. So, you know, God has had to give me confidence in getting on the phone and doing that kind of stuff. I'm not a secretary. I just not like I pick up the phone and call people all the time and that. But God has given me the confidence. And he's, you know, he's making me prove myself. How bad do I really want this, right? He's kind of put me out there and said, you know, how bad do you really want this support? How bad do you really want to be out there in that ministry? And so, remember, I tell you guys this all the time. We learn more out of our comfort zone than we ever do in it. And I'm learning a whole lot being out of my comfort zone, going to new churches every week. We thank God for the churches that have had us in and for those who have supported us. It's been good. But then there's been at times we've been in churches, it's been a nightmare. I mean, just complete. This is how it is. You take the good with the bad, get up there and preach Jesus Christ, get out there and tell them exactly what liberty behind bars is and keep it moving and just see what the Lord does. On the door is the men's fellowship, April 16th. Please keep that in prayer. Keep in prayer what you would give. It's Pastor Hector Sotomayor out of Calvary Bible Baptist Church in Rochester. I believe Miss Jen has the sign-up sheet out there. It's an Italian dinner, ladies. We could use your help. We had, I think, 35 or 40 on our first one. It'll be bigger this time. More people, I'm sure, are going to come. Men, Dustin, Luke, all you guys, get your name on that list if you're going to come. I put a sign-up sheet over there. Please sign up because we need to get the numbers to Jen and the ladies so they know what to get and how much. And so we're thankful for that. And then that'll probably be it for a while because we'll be getting extremely busy with Youth Week and then getting up and we're spending the whole month of July in Maine. We won't even be here at all in July. I think we'll come home August 3rd. We'll leave right after Teen Week and be home August 3rd. We have every single Wednesday and Sunday booked up there in Maine and such. And so God is just opening those doors for us. And, you know, we're going to take advantage of it and whatever else comes along. And then we're hoping for August to be down in the South and some new churches and such. And so just keep us in prayer. I mean, we need to it's a lot traveling around. It's a lot when you're still holding down jobs and still got, you know, connections here and then running the ministry and such like that. So it can be very taxing. You know, I tell my wife, listen, honey, I need to protect my wife. If I don't protect my wife, God is going to hold me accountable for that. And so I always watch my wife spiritually. I watch her physically to make sure that it's not getting to be too much. As if that's the case, sometimes I may have to leave her home. Don't want to. It's not part of what I want to do. She's part of my ministry. But at the same time, I need to be mindful of my wife. And so thank you guys for praying. Thank you guys for supporting us. Thank you guys for everything that you do. I was just telling a couple people earlier, I said, there's nothing like having your home church support you prayerfully. You know, it's kind of like having a cheerleader back at home, having you guys cheer us on. You know, come on, get out there. And I mean, that's a wonderful thing to know that people are doing that. It really is. It's an encouragement. Because sometimes you feel like you're out there in the trenches by yourself. Pastor, you would know that. You feel like you're out there in the trenches by yourself, and it's just like, man, it's lonely out here. And to know that our home church is back at home praying for us and such, it's wonderful. And so on the way home, it was busy. I was in the jail today. What a wonderful thing it was to be in the jail for the last few weeks. We've been able to give 6 cases of Bibles in to the jail since I've been there. And so he's been keeping the locker stacked up of the King James Bibles. Otherwise, they'll put anything in there. And so, as you guys know, I'm going for surgery on next Wednesday to get this Stimulator taken out. It's really painful for me. Once it's gone, it'll be a big help to have it out. But I told Brian I'll have to be out for a few weeks. I can't lift anything over 5 pounds for 6 to 8 weeks. And so driving's going to be difficult, but I'll be out of the jail for a few weeks. But Brian is under the understanding that I will run Bibles to him. Okay? I said, listen, don't put anything else in that locker. I'll make sure you get Bibles. Okay? I'll run them out there to you, man. And so keep that in prayer, that that goes well and that that recovery will be very quick. We will only have 1 week off. We'll have Easter Sunday here, and then we are at Paul Scott's the following week. So we'll be right back on the road very quickly. And so this Sunday, Brother Neil said, we're done with the teen week, teen Sunday school. We're out of here at 2 o'clock. We're heading out to Seneca Falls, New York. I just happened to call the guy. He told me he's booked up for the summer. I said, that's fine. So I'll just tell you this. I said, real quick, I said, I have an opening on the 28th at 6 o'clock at night. He said, good, be here. And so it was just a shot in the dark, but what a blessing that we'll be able to do that. And so we know Pastor Haynes not here. He hurt himself, so pray for him. Keep him in prayer. What a wonderful man he is. I mean, you should really lift your pastors up in prayer. You really should keep them up in prayer. You really should be praying. But look at Pastor Haynes not going to be here forever. We live like they're going to be here forever. One of my prayers has been for the last 3 or 4 years, and I told Pastor this was, I'm praying for the next pastor at Black Creek. Because one day, Pastor John Asquith is either going to be retired or not here. So what are we praying for? Are we praying? Look, it's going to come. Either Jesus Christ is going to come back, and we don't have to worry about it. Or who is that next pastor? Who is going to be the one that takes over Black Creek? Who's going to be the one to teach the King James Bible, to take over those responsibilities? You see, we should be praying for that stuff now. Not that we hope the best for our pastor, or worse for our pastor, excuse me. But you know what? We should be prepared because those times are coming. One of my prayers has been for the last month or two is praying for Pastor John when Pastor Hain is no longer here. He's going to need it. That's an important prayer, guys. God put it on my heart for a reason. You know what? You guys should take that very seriously, okay? And so so Pastor Haynes not here. Obviously, he's not doing well with his back and his hips. So keep him up in prayer. That man's been serving God a long time. He deserves at least your prayers and to help him and Miss Haynes. And so if you would, so Pastor John asked me to do tonight if he didn't show up and he's not here. So I said, well, I don't have anything, but I'll be ready. It was funny because I just told the guys in jail today, I said, well, I have a pastor who's taught me to always be ready. And so here it is. I go out to my, and I check my phone. And there's there's a text from Pastor John. You're going to have the pulpit tonight. I'm like, wow, okay. All right. So Lord, give me a message. I need one from, you know, Rochester to here. And the Lord gave me a message. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, we're going to see here that God is rolling out Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, okay? He's rolling out everything he just taught in those three books, okay? He's already implemented the sacrifices. He's already told everybody where they belong as far as the Levites and the Kohathites and that. He's given them their office. He's given them their responsibilities. And now in Numbers, he's letting them roll it out. You see, God doesn't just give us things and then leave us there alone. He gives us things, then he walks us through it. He wants to make sure we got it right. So that's what you're going to find here in the book of Numbers is God has given all this, and now he's letting them roll it out. And so we're going to see some mistakes and such have been made and whatever. But look at here in Numbers chapter 11. They've been taken out of bondage. They've been taken from death. They've been taken from slavery. And they're out there now, and God says, look, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of everything. You don't ever have to worry about nothing. But look what it says here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, and it says, and the mixed multitude was among them that fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? He said, they say, well, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. How about that? Isn't that just something like us? Look what it says here. It says, but our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all. That's what they just told God. But look what they say in the very next line. Besides this manna. You see, God provided them with manna, but they weren't happy with the manna. They said, look it, our bones are dry. Look it, we're starving to death. There is nothing here but this manna. You see, they weren't happy with God's provisions. They weren't happy what God was providing for them. And that's just like us today as Christians. You see, we ought to be thankful for what we have. We ought to be thankful for the homes that we have. We ought to be thankful for the cars that we have, good or bad. We ought to be thankful for the health we have, whether it's going good or whether it's going bad. You see, God has provided for us here at Black Creek. And you know the attitude we get? Well, there's nothing here but this manna. We start becoming blind to ourselves, and we start becoming blind to our needs and our wants beyond what God is trying to provide for us. And our attitude changes, and it becomes like this, where they say, there is nothing at all besides this manna. You know, how many have that attitude when they came to church tonight? Well, I guess I'm going to church tonight. Why am I going here? If you're a lost person tonight, did you come here thinking you might get saved? No, you're coming here with the attitude, there's nothing there but manna. You've let that whole, it's possible that just one thing might be said tonight that I might get saved. No, that's not how you're looking at it. You're just coming to sit in church again to hear somebody preach the word. You've gotten that attitude, there's nothing here at all. Our soul is dried up, but the manna. You see, that's a provision that God made for them. He promised that he would take care of them. And God has promised that if you'll call upon his name, you shall be saved. But how can they be saved? How can they call upon who they don't believe? You see, God made a provision, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is that manna. He gave that for people to eat. He gave that for people to come. But let me just say this, that provision is not good enough. Look at Mark chapter 12, if you would. Is this my water? I hope so. It looks good.
Yep.
Mark chapter 12. The Lord has provided, but we become unthankful because it's not what we want. We're not looking at that manna as it's a provision of God. We're looking at the manna like this just isn't good enough. How about it? What is in your life tonight that you're looking at it as a manna, but it's not good enough for you? What is that thing in your life that may be in there that you're looking at it not of the understanding that God has given me a provision, but this is just another thing that is in my life? You see, God likes to provide things to those. But look what it says here in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And it says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money in the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Verse 43, and he called unto his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast in the treasury. For all they did cast into cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. She gave all because God gave her all. You see, what God provided for her, she seen as priceless. You see, Pastor, what she seen was what God, the provisions that God gave her were meant more to her than money. She was therefore willing to give up her money because God had given something more value to her. How about that? Are you looking at God that way?
Mom.
How about, are you looking at salvation in your family that way? Is it worth more to you than money? She gave in all that she had. Listen, what she gave wasn't from Uncle Joe or Trump. It didn't take somebody to give her money for her to give money. Most people today are waiting for money to come in before they want to give money. Hey, my friend, what God has given you, what does his provision mean to you? For this woman here with the two mites, it meant everything that God has given her. Therefore, she was willing to give in everything. It says even all her living. You see, how about it? Even if you're a lost person in this room tonight, God has given you a provision to sit in that pew one more time, and you're not in the flames of hell. You see, if you're a saved person in here, regardless of what your circumstances are physically or emotionally, God has made provisions for you. But you're trying to look beyond his provisions because you're not satisfied with them, like the children of Israel were not satisfied with the manna. And it gives you an attitude of there's nothing here for us but this manna. And you start coming to the church and you say, well, I wonder why I'm having such a hard time. Why am I struggling? Why is my reading mean nothing to me? Because God is giving you the manna in front of you every day. And what does it mean to you? He says that I will give you the words. Man cannot live by bread alone. Isn't that what it says? But every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen, in order for you to physically stay alive, you have to eat. How do you spiritually stay alive? Eat the manna, the word. God has given that to you. Here it is. But you know the problem is people aren't satisfied with that provision. It's not a wonder why they're out there trying to change it all the time and trying to rearrange the words and everything else, because they're not happy with God's provision. They think there's something better somewhere else, and there's not. You know what they mentioned after that? They mentioned all the stuff that they could have had, or before that, they mentioned all the stuff that they could have had in Egypt. Well, we could have had fish and garlic. You know what that means, Pastor? They were willing to go back and be killed and put in slavery to get that.
Amen.
They were willing to go back to their self. They were willing to go back to those things of being slaves and being in bondage. They were willing to go back to those things to get those things instead of come out and live in God's provision. You know, that's what most of the people I work with do. They'll come to jail. They'll get this little touch of a religion. They want this little religion to try to make them feel good while they're in jail or prison. And then immediately, as soon as they get out, they go right back to what they always done. Isn't that what we all do? I remember when I first got saved, Tanya. I remember the first few years of me getting saved. You know, I would say, man, why did you save me from this just to make me go through this? Why did you save me through it just to always send me through chastisement? That's what I believed about God. That's always what he wanted to do. You know why, Kyle? Because I wasn't seeing him for his provision. Yeah, I was trying to look beyond what God was providing for me at that time. You see, God knows what we need. God knows what it's going to take for all of us. God knew exactly what it was going to take for me to get saved. And he knows that with every single lost person in this room. Christian, he knows every single thing you need in this room. You know what the problem is? We don't always want his provisions. We want what we think, what provisions we think is going to fit our life. And that's not where God is at, my friend. And look what it says here. She gave all because God gave her all that she had. She understood where it came from. Not because of an abundance that she had. She didn't have an abundance. She gave what she had because of what God gave her. Man, what an awesome attitude that is, isn't it? You know, the Bible talks about, when you give, don't give grudgingly. You know, that's not just money. That could be your time. That could be thinking. That could be your body. I mean, we can go out there and say, all right, well, you know, pastor calls me up. Hey, Dale, I need you to come here and do such and such. Yeah, all right, I'll be right there. That's giving grudgingly. My goodness, have we forgot so soon what he has given us? And yet we want to grumble and complain because we're asked to come and do one thing? Oh, shame on us. Why? Because all we're looking at, there's nothing here for me. It's just manna. The house that God has given me, the vehicles that he's given me, my health that he's given me, what are them anymore? It's just manna. Lord, there's nothing here anymore. It's just manna. What an attitude to have towards a God who's given us everything. Luke chapter 7, verse 41 through 47, if you would turn there with me. Chapter 7. Let's look at here the attitude of that woman who gave the two mites. I want you to see the attitude of where she came from. Something that she understood. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 47. It says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He says, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he who forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he returned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, both had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. My friends, how much have you been forgiven? You see, you look at somebody like me and say, man, he has been forgiven a lot, therefore he loves a lot. Let me ask you this, that little white lie that you told to your mama way back in the day, you're just as guilty of anything that I lived outwardly.
None.
You're just as guilty from that one lie than anything I ever lived outwardly. That will send you to hell just as quick as me out there living those things that I did. But let me just tell you this, this woman understood what Jesus Christ had given her. That woman with the two mites, she understood what God has given her. And you know what? She wanted to give everything. This woman here is at the feet of Jesus Christ, wiping his feet with her tears, anointing his feet with oil, because she understood exactly what Jesus Christ gave her. You know why? Because she wasn't looking at him just like manna. She was looking at him like, I owe you everything because you gave me everything. And that's what we lose, my friends. We lose that sight of God's provision of what he provided for us. Today, my friends, how about this? If God took everything out of your house right now, Nate, if he stripped everything and you got nothing left, would you be happy with God as your provision? You know, God does that type of stuff to some people. He'll strip everything. Why? Because they get their eyes in other places that shouldn't be. And then he's got to start taking things away. You know what he told? He told the Levites, you don't get an inheritance. I am your inheritance. How about that, people? What if the only thing you had left on earth was God? Charles Spurgeon asked the question in one of the things that he wrote on salvation. He says, if you take hell out of the equation, will you still want Jesus?
Yeah, come on.
If you take hell out of the equation, would you still want Jesus Christ as bad as you do now? You see, because there'd be no penalty then. Or would you just go out there, Flander? Would you just go back out there? You see, God made a provision. And it's called Jesus Christ. And look at, man, how you're looking at that provision, how you're looking at that thing. Let me just say this. You're looking at that provision like it's a man-made provision, and it's not. It's a holy God who came down here to die, who went on that cross by the blood of Jesus Christ. You could be washed from your sins. What a wonderful God to do that for us. And we look at him. We look at his salvation. We look at his salvation and his provision and we laugh it to scorn. Oh, I would never laugh it to scorn. Let me ask you this. If you don't believe his word that he's there to save you, you're laughing it to scorn. You're telling him it's a joke and you're telling God he's a liar. That's what you're telling him. You're saying that provision that you made on that cross, that when you rose again, that provision of the blood of Jesus Christ, it's a joke, it's a lie, because it can't save me. How about that? Oh, there's nothing here. There's nothing here but manna. There's nothing here that's going to change my life. Oh, what a sad, sad time that is. It says her sins, which were many, are forgiven. And she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. How about it, my friends? How about that provision? What has he done for your life? I want you to think about the last 6 months of your life and what God has done, good or bad. Look at the last 6 months of your life and look at the provisions that he's made. Look at tonight. Here we are at Black Creek at 7:30. You're at Black Creek Baptist Church and we're sitting in a church pew hearing the Word of God preached. Why? Because God gave you a provision one more time to hear the Word of God preached.
Amen.
How are you going to look at it? How are you going to take that, Josh? You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. But look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9. Solomon says it. He says, two things I have required of thee. Deny me not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with a food convenient for me. Why? Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You know why he said that? Because Solomon knew this, that if he had too much, he'd curse God. And that if God gave him too little, he'd blaspheme his name. How about it, my friends? How about the provisions that God has made for you tonight? Is it not enough? How much more is it going to take? How much more is he going to feed you? How much more is he going to clothe you and give you more time? How much is it, Christian? You see, some of us have too much. We get in that point. I just tell God this. You know what I pray sometimes, Tim? I said, God, right now you've given me too much. And I've learned how to forget your name in those times. Don't take everything from me, but man, you need to get me close. I need to be close to you again, Lord. You see, I recognize when that kind of stuff is going on in my life. Because look at, you can take it, man. What I want to do, here's my prayers, Lord. Right now, if everything was to go away in my life, like Job, I said, I may curse you to your face, but Lord, would you prepare me that I wouldn't? That's my honest prayer. That's my honest prayer, because I want God to be able to build me up that one day, if that ever happened to me, that I could do what they said about Job and keep that integrity and serve Jesus Christ. I want to keep that. That's a cry of my heart, that I would be able to do that no matter what, and just know that God has given me the provision, the strength to make it through those times. How about it? Because you know what? We live like that's not going to happen to us. Well, I'm just telling you this. I'm out there on the road seeing things in churches, and I'm just telling you this. It's a scary time. It's a scary time, and God is one more time giving us provision to be here at Black Creek. How are you looking at it? Is he giving you too much where you can't see, or too little where you think he just doesn't want anything to do with you? Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what? One thing I had to learn, Brother Neil, God would just let me tear. I hated Allegheny County. Hated being here. With everything that I can hate, with every ounce of my bones, I hated being here. And I remember after getting saved, and the Lord said, Dale, I'm going to make you content. Yeah. Okay. If I never had to leave where I live or leave this church for the rest of my life, if I could die right here, I'd be the happiest person on the entire planet. But I don't think that's the case. But I know God had to teach me what contentment was. Amen. He had to teach me that no matter where I am and no matter what I'm going through, that I can be content. Why? Because he's the provider. He is that provision. It's more than the manna. It's more than just some words on a page. It's more than just a story. It's more than just a man in the history books. It's a reality. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. Look at, they would go out in the mornings and they were picking up manna and they were able to eat that. But to them, that provision was not good enough. What provision are you looking for your soul? How much more? He's already given that to you. How about it, Christian? Are we willing to put ourselves out there and say, God, whatever provision you have for my life, I want it regardless of what comes. That's a hard prayer to pray. But I remember me and my wife praying that. And I tell you what, there's been times God has not let up on me and my wife. But you know what? I don't regret one moment of it, because it's making us who we are today.
Amen.
And you know what it is? It's because that's what he wants. It's not about what Dale Morey wants anymore. I heard Barry Rackley preach. We listened to that message. Barry Rackley says, you know, when you got saved, you gave up your purpose. You gave up you. You no longer belong to yourself. You know what people are trying to do? They're trying to live outside of God's provision, and they're still trying to live for themselves, and they don't even belong. It says that you're bought with a price. I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to a holy God, for him to do whatever his will and purpose is for my life. Whatever provisions he takes or whatever ones he takes away, it's up to him. Learn how to live that way. He says, be content with such things as you have. What do you have? What do you have that's so bad? Are you living in a cardboard box? Are you in a hut? Are you starving? Is anybody here starving? Anybody here not clothed? Be content with what you have. You know what happens, Kyle? We start looking at the Joneses. You know what we start doing as Christians? We start looking at the lost world and what they have and want it. Because God's provision means we might lose something, John Mark. We might not be able to have this, but they can have it. So let's go get what they have, because we're not satisfied with God's provisions. God help us. Matthew 6:19-21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Look it. Do you know how God tests where our heart is? When he quickly starts taking stuff out of your life.
Come on.
It shows you exactly. He doesn't need to see it. He already knows it. But he's trying to show you exactly where your heart's at. And that's why he takes things away. And he allows things to come into our life. And he allows our, look at, my health fails. There's time my health fails. Right now I'm doing okay. But you know what? My health is going to fail again. Why? Because you know what? Maybe God's trying to pinpoint something to me. Or our bills can't get paid. Or right now we have two cars that are broke down. Can you believe it? They're barely drivable. They told us to park them in our driveway and don't drive them until we can get them fixed. One gets fixed tomorrow and one gets fixed on Thursday. But you know what? We've come to that place in our life where we look at it and we go, Lord, you provided it, then you're going to have to fix it. There's no other way to do it. But see, where's our treasure? Back in the days, as pastor, when we first got saved, that would have thrown us in a tailspin. Pastor, we can't make it. It's over for us, man. We can't do it. You know what? But we've come to realize that God knows how to provide, Josh. He's just big enough to be able to do that.
Regardless of what happens, God is big enough to take care of those things he's provided. And you know what? He'll take care of those things. He's a good God.
But if he doesn't, he's still a good God. You know that didn't change because he didn't. Most people are like, yeah, good, we're on the mountaintop. Awesome, yeah, thank you, Jesus. And when troubles come, they're not doing that anymore. No, oh God, whatever. Yep, they want to throw everything away. I don't think I can serve you anymore. I had a guy tell me that for about an hour today. And I just looked at him and I said, my friend, let me just tell you this. You have a spark of hope in you. I said, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be sitting here talking to me. He goes, Dale, I never thought about that. I said, listen, we need to pray. We just need to pray. I said, because I can't convince you. I said, but friend, let me tell you this. God sure wants to convince you. God wants to convince that man. Look at people. God wants to convince you in this church. You wouldn't be sitting here if he didn't. Look at, do you know how God tests where our heart is? When our health fails, our money is short, when our only hope is our prayer and God's provision, God quickly pinpoints our heart that he's trying to show us. Look at, have you fallen into there is nothing at all besides this manna attitude? Look, I challenge you tonight to change that attitude and go and see the provisions that God has made outside of just calling it manna. Because it's a whole lot more than that. That manna was life-sustaining. That manna that we call the King James Bible is life-sustaining. From now through eternity. And God has given that provision to you. And he wants you to look at it in a different way. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're a lost person. It's not just manna. It's a life-giving source. For the Christian, how to live their life. For the lost person, how to find that life. But how are you looking at it, Josh? Are you grumbling when you got to go out there in the morning before the dew and grab that manna? Or are you going out there cheerfully, Lord, this is the bread you've given me for today, and I'm going to trust it and I'm going to believe it because you made that provision. I challenge you to take a look at it differently. I challenge you to look at it. I'm going to end with this. Have you fallen into the there is nothing at all besides this manna attitude towards God? Has what God provided become only manna to you and not recognizing that it's his love and his provision that has driven him to do that? If he didn't love the children of Israel, he would have brought them out of Egypt and let them die. But he didn't. My friend, he wants to do the same for the Christian, and he wants to do it. Look at Christian, God didn't just save you from the world to put you out there to die. Okay. If you're not saved here, God's not trying to string you along. He's not putting that carrot down in front of you like I used to think all the time, right? I used to think God's just dangling that carrot right in front of me. I'm like that mule. And God just leaves it. Just that. He's not doing that. He's already made the provision. The price is already paid. It's done. Will you go to that provision?
No.
I'm done.
Sure. All right, turn that.